beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Sweet Holy Spirit, is another time of fellowship in your presence. You are the one who teaches us the word. We ask that you teach us tonight. Grant us understanding that we may live. Grant us revelation. Grant us inspiration. To your glory and praise forever. Thank you, Lord and King. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. We bless God for another time of fellowship in His presence. We appreciate God for thus far He has helped us. This is Miracles of Jesus. Amen and amen. And we have been learning quite a lot in this series for since March 23rd, 2023. And we have been growing in revelation. We are actually on the fourth miracle that Jesus did as rendered by John's gospel. Amen to Jesus. And that's the miracle of, you know, five loaves and two fishes. And it's been an awesome journey thus far. You know, we have read these stories in the past. But, you know, in these teachings, the Lord is actually making the stories real to us. And we are going into deeper understanding, analysis of those stories. And they are coming with great light to us. Amen and amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Amen and amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. So we have been looking at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and we looked at vision, we looked at shepherding, we looked at fishing, soul winning. We understood that this miracle was not just a miracle of provision, but a miracle that entailed the two legs of the Christian faith, which is what? Soul winning and evangelism, and what? Discipleship and what? Shepherding. And that's the two legs on which the Christian faith stands on. And we've been learning quite a lot. We understood the cider, we understood a lot about that, and we looked at Philip. Philip was a great study. Amen to Jesus. We're so blessed by Philip. Amen to Jesus, because Jesus had to ask Philip, where do we get bread from? Amen. And the Bible says he knew what he was to do, but he still asked him. So that was a great study we had there, and I believe we're blessed by Philip. I want to appreciate all our listeners all over the nations of the earth. The good Lord bless you. Amen to Jesus. Everyone investing their finances, their time into getting blessed by this platform. The Lord bless you richly in the name of Jesus. And also those who have been doing, who have been acting as media evangelists, sharing, you know, on the different platforms. The Lord bless you richly. We appreciate you. And Jesus loves you better than we do, and greater than we'd ever do. Amen to Jesus. And also we want to appreciate everyone who has given a feedback. We thank you for what you are for doing that great work. We want to also get your feedback. Let us get your questions. Let us hear how these teachings are being a blessing to you. And the giving platforms are all there. You can support this work that God is doing. Amen to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right. Today we are going to start off looking at Andrew. Andrew, you know, I like this Andrew idea. Amen. You know, when I began to study it, I just, you know, God just, the Holy Spirit began to show me some things that were so wonderful to my, you know, spirit man. And I began to pray already in the light of Andrew. And we trust God that we're going to pray. Today's teaching is going to be more prayer oriented. Amen. It's not too much talk. It's plenty prayer. Amen to Jesus. All right. Still the same verse of scripture. John chapter 6 verse 5 to 9. It says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? It says, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them may take a little, even a little. Amen. All right. And then one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He actually precisely said the fishes were small. You see, the description was very, very clear. It is, he had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Not just 2 fishes, 2 small fishes. Are you getting what I'm saying? But what are they among so many? In other words, what use would they be? But you see, there's something about this here. The Philip mentality says, if we get 200 penny worth of bread, it will not be enough. 200 penny worth of bread is far more than 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Because actually it is believed that barley loaves were eaten by the poor people. Then it was a food for the poor. Are you get what I'm saying? These loaves were a food for the poor. Or even for slaves. Are you get what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. So it is not believed that this boy might have been a slave boy. Maybe. Are you getting it? So number one, the quality of the food. Barley loaves. Are you getting me? Quality of the food was nothing to write home about. Then number two, the size of the fishes. Now, looking at the contrast between Philip and Andrew, and Philip's cases, even if we get, now we're talking about 5 barley loaves, so poor people's food. But let's not even go there at all. Because Philip is saying that even if we get 200 penny worth of food, it will not be enough for everyone to take a little bite. A penny was, you know, as it were, half the wage of a laborer for a day then in Israel, because it's believed that the laborer actually uses half of his wage to take care of feeding in the home. So basically you get $10 and $5 goes for feeding. How much you have left? Are you get what I'm saying? Now so you have to work every day to be able to feed your family. Are we together? Work every day to feed your family, because you're using half to feed your family. The many half you're going to distribute it amongst all that necessity. So, as you said, food was a basic. If food can take half of your wage, reminds me of the previous mission speed we were, where the man brings those that heavy cash to the wife for feeding. And the woman will cook heaven and earth. And everything she cooks must not spill over to the next day. If it remains, she throws it away. When we saw it, we're like, what kind of thing is this? And they have fridges. And we could not understand, what is the use of a fridge if you cannot store food? And the fridge was used to store alcohol. You get what I'm saying? They cook everything. They say, a man will give the man heavy cash. And she doesn't ask for small cash, heavy cash. You know, there was one, my interpreter then used to complain that she's wasting his money. But I wonder why he was wasting, why he was complaining, because that's the idea, that's a way of life. And you cook and you cannot finish it and you throw it away. And we're like, what is this? And the poverty level there is high, because the wastage level is high. Now, so if you are using half of your wage to feed your family, and that should be a family of at least five. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's some heavy amounts to spare every day. And Philip comes and says, even taking a full wage, taking what you feed your family, taking it times 200, it will not be enough for these people to get a little bite. The bite is just put something in the mouth. Are we together? and let's see if that was to put in the man's country. And what if that bike cannot even take them the journey they are going? So Philip brought a situation of, come, this is unrealistic. Are you getting what I'm saying? But now Andrew comes and Philip says, what even if they get this money, it's not enough. And Andrew is bringing something that doesn't make sense out. Philip is saying, even if we get this plenty, it will not be enough for us. And Andrew is bringing something that is infinitesimal to rubbish. Why suggest something that does not make sense when what makes sense will not even make sense? That's what we're dealing with here. What makes sense will not make sense. What makes sense, we have no value here. And you are suggesting something that does not make sense at all. But Andrew suggests and say, okay, what difference does it make? But see, people like Andrew, like, anyway, I just said something. I think they have an approach to us like that. Let me just try and say something. Let me try and do something. I get what I'm saying. Let me attempt something. Although it may not make anything, but let me do something. And that approach to us like happens to be the approach of successful people. Let me attempt something, even if I don't achieve it at the end of the day. But to say, like Philip, I will not try at all, because it doesn't look like it will amount to anything. That is not a good mentality. It's better to try, to give an attempt, to press, to do something and fail at doing it, than to not do at all. Failures are people that never do anything, because they always give reasons why what they do will not work. Bible talks about the lazy man. He says in the morning, he says it is too cold. In the afternoon, he says there's a lion on the road. And in the afternoon, he says it's too hot. And then the later, he says there's a lion on the road. He gives 1,001 excuses why he should not step out of his house. When you have enough reasons why what you will try will not work, then you have signed an agreement with failure. Are we together? But you say, let me try something. You know, there's something wife always tell me, let us make an attempt. We have experienced a lot making attempts in ministry. You know, today I was reading of something, I was like, but God, you know, I've been doing this thing. I've been doing it. This thing that, you know, I've seen things that people will advise, and I know that the Lord has led me in that direction before. He has said, and I'm like, God, I've been obeying you. And I know people who believe that I don't know what I'm doing, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Many people believe, I don't know what I'm doing, that's what I'm doing, But, you know, I've been obeying God. Funny enough, many people that think I don't know what I'm doing, after a while, they come to realize that I actually know what I'm doing. They realize I actually know what I'm doing. And for pride's sake, they don't know how to come down and say, man, you were right. But you see, the greatest agreement you will have with failure is if you always give reasons why the much you have cannot amount to anything. You always give reasons why the much you have cannot amount to anything. When the widow of the prophet who had two sons came to meet the prophet, and he told him, he said, the debtors are on me, they want to take my sons. What did the prophet ask her? What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? God cannot do anything without something in your hand. And God will never leave you in a situation where you will not have something in your hand. Oh, come on. Are we together? And so the three mentality believes, what I have in my hand will not even do anything. But the other mentality believes, I have something new. Anyway, maybe it may not do anything, but there's something, sha. And let me just, I have something new. There's something new. Maybe it may not do anything, but at least there's something, sha. Just to bring to your knowledge that there's something. It may not be useful to you, but there's something. And that mentality would, at the end of the day, strike a chord. Praise God forevermore. As rendered in the verse of scripture above, Andrew, the brother of Peter, played an important role in this miracle. Are we together? He played a very important role in this miracle, a pivotal role in this miracle. Now, due to this, we have to study the person of Andrew and know what to learn from him in order to duplicate this miracle in our lives. See, let me tell you something. This ideology, this what we are learning today, it's what we are going to invest time praying about. You know, I was telling my wife something like, oh, the idea that came, I said, let's do it. And she was like, what? I said, let's do it. And first it started, it looked like we're not making, you know, when you initialize, it looked like it was not, we're having some leisure. Then before you know it entered into, you have to do twice a day. Now it's like, what you haven't done is not even enough again. It's starting. And I said, come, I am not putting my hope on this thing, but I know that it's just a step in an instruction. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've learned, she has always told me, if you don't take the next, if you don't obey God, for this one, you know what the next one will say. And you see, More often than not, when people see you in that light, they believe that you don't know our God, you don't know what you are doing. But you see, this ideology will help a lot of people, and will help a lot of Christians succeed in life. Amen to Jesus. The first thing to know about Andrew is that he was a proactive person who took initiative. Look at the verse of scripture here. Jesus did not ask Andrew. Are you getting me? Jesus asked Philip. In other words, you could have said, Andrew, what is your business? It's not you they ask. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why are you sticking your nose into what's not your business? Did they ask you? Andrew was not the one Philip and Jesus asked. It was Philip that Jesus asked. But Andrew was proactive and he took initiative. Are you getting what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. For the miraculous to happen, people who are not proactive and cannot take initiative will never see the miraculous. You will never see the miraculous. You want things to always, you want God to always ask you like Philip. There are times he will not ask you. Thank God he asked Jeremiah. Thank God he asked Ezekiel. But there are times he will ask you. We expect you to take the initiative. A man of God said once, he met a senior man of God and said, sir, where, how do I know the country to go from God and preach? He said, no. He said, how do you know? You see, you could go from country to country. How do you, that of God lead you country to go to? He said, lead you? No. He said, just choose a country in your mind and go there. Just choose a country in your mind and go there. Yeah. When you go there, go. So long as God carry you there, he will see you through there. I get what I'm saying. And a man of God said, He booked an appointment with a great man of God who has passed on, Dr. Yongi Cho, and it was meant to be for a golf. He was supposed to play golf with him, and they had, I think, three holes to putt. He struck the first hole. He was there. Dr. Yongi Cho was there, and he was playing golf with him. They struck the first hole. He said, "How will I?" And the man was quiet. Cho is quiet in thought. How will I talk to Cho? He kept on saying, "How will I talk to Cho?" He didn't know what to. Then when he struck the first pot, he came to meet Dr. Cho. I said, sir, how are you enjoying the game? He said, fine. He went. They struck the second hole. Who will I touch you? He went and he asked Dr. Cho. So Dr. Cho, say, sir, please, I just want to ask you, as a minister of the gospel, tell me something. What am I not to do, minister? He said, nothing. He said, nothing. He said, try beat him. You learn from mistakes. Try everything. You learn from mistakes. And he said that they passed the final hole, and that was the end of the day. So I paid my ticket in and out, and booked a stay in a hotel just to hear. Try everything. We learn by mistakes. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so some of the times, even being proactive may make you make what you may call mistakes. But in God's agenda, when you are proactive towards God, it's not a mistake. You always see how it will culminate into a great thing for you. You know, the Lord led us to help somebody, and we're like, okay. Even when I was seeing some signs of, should I go help this? I'm like, so long as the Lord is leading me, I will do. And we did. And the person did not respond back to us in the way that we expected that he would have done. And I began to see the time was up. I'm like, God, this time is up. And the Lord led us, okay, this time is up. And lo and behold, we took the step in that direction. Yes, what God used us to do was not valued. Are we together? But one thing for sure was that it was a step in God's direction. It was a proactive step. And every proactive step in God's direction. Because when I looked at how we met the person, it was not ministry wise and every other business wise. And then God began to okay lead us. When I looked at everything, I'm like, this was not the original plan. God began to lead us. And we proactively acted. Because one thing we like to do is that we have to be proactive when God leads us. We don't like to delay. In the last location we were here, when we're taking steps fast for the Lord, we're like, what's wrong with this people? And somebody once told me, said, when I saw the property, the building you rented for church, I said, this person loves God. With the glory of God, the family never, after us, they said they will never rent a church, and they never rent a church again. Because that this one's a journey. When you take proactive steps towards God, the actual fact is that even if it's a mistake, or it looks like a mistake, God will culminate it into great things for you. Why? Because you can never take a proactive step towards God and God will say, oh, who sent you? Or God will say, did I call you up? When Andrew started talking, she just told Andrew, did I ask you? Are you Philip? mind your business. But Jesus never shut him out. Jesus never told him, mind your business. Jesus never told him, did I ask you? Jesus never told him, are you feeding? Are you getting what I'm saying? Rather, Jesus responded. He responded to him. Jesus didn't react to him. Jesus was responded to him. It makes us understand that God loves it when we are proactive. Are we together? And he likes it when we take initiative. He loves it. Amen. Andrew did not wait to be asked like Philip. Rather, he swung into action uninvited. Are we together? You know, I listened to a man of God and he said something. He said, while he was in the city where he was, when he began ministry, all his friends were complaining that they were not getting invitations. They were crying that they were not getting invitations. He said, even those that say Jesus spoke to them, he said they saw Jesus. Jesus spoke to them. Jesus appeared to them. They were not getting invitations. He said, him, Jesus did not speak to him as they say. He said, okay, the only way Jesus spoke to him is through the word of God. And this is where that function in the prophetic grace. He said, Jesus spoke to him through the word of God. He says through scripture. So that's how Jesus spoke to him. It's not like the ones that said Jesus appeared to them. He said, those ones were complaining, were not getting invitations. He said, but him, he left the city where they were and entered into the hinters. And he said, he was having over invitations. Over. Amen. He was proactive. Are you getting what I'm saying? He took initiative. He did not wait for Jesus to ask him. He swung into action. Are we together? He came uninvited. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, remember when they used to say, are you called of God? What vision did you see? Are you sure you didn't call yourself? Please, before you tell me that, let me show you scripture that says many are called, few are chosen. And let me show you scripture that said he sent them and said, go and preach the gospel. An apostle is the word apostolos, which means was a sent one. We are all sent, sir. And we all grow in this thing. There's a level you grow to in your knowledge of the Lord, in your way of the Lord. Apostle Paul said, you that are meant to be teaching, are still looking for who to be taught. That means you expect them to grow. So expect to grow to a level where you can start teaching the word and start blessing people and start ministering to people. That one is not Jesus calling Philip. It's Andrew responding to Jesus. So how many people are waiting for Jesus to call them like Philip? They are wise ones that are what? Getting proactive and taking initiative and what? And responding to Jesus seemingly uninvited, unasked. And when God sees you are proactive and you take initiative and you swing into action, you know what? He gets excited. Many of the people that we see that God is using today, they don't really have any respect. Somebody says something, said some of the time when he sees successful people, he wonders if they're actually gifted people or if they're hard workers. He says, when he sees, so he says, he wonders if they're actually gifted people. Because some of the people think that everything is about gifts. Let me tell you, yes, they are gifted people. But behind the gift is, they are still hardworking. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. Now, so this speaks volume of what Andrew. He was a person who wanted to proffer solutions and be of help, even when he is not invited to do so. Wow. It speaks volume of his heart. He was somebody who always wanted to give solutions. Are you getting what I'm saying? Over the years, I've been somebody who wants to help. I just want to help. I like to help. I've had a lot of wounds due to that. Are you getting me? I enter into a church and I'm just helping the teenagers. As a teenager, I just entered into church. I was preaching to the teenagers. I just want to help. I'm very uncomfortable not helping. I just want to help. In every way I can help, I want to help. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've gotten injuries for that, but I'm fine. Amen to Jesus. Amen. I'm fine. So you're somebody who wanted to always provide solutions. I always want to provide solutions. I like solutions. You know? He was someone who wanted to provide solutions, even when he's not invited to do so. So an uninvited guest, yes, but he will still give you solution. That's Andrew. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the Andrew mentality. You don't invite me, but I give you solution. You know? I gave solution to somebody on a very crucial issue. As a person talked, I just stood up and I gave my solution. I gave my solution. I will just give solutions. And whether you invite me or not, I give you the solution. I'll give it to you. Why? Because after all, it doesn't cost me anything to give you the solution. It's the wisdom of God that works in me. And if you accept it, that's your cup of tea. If you don't accept it, that's your cup of water. Whatever. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Now, so for people like Andrew, in my
Nigerian vernacular, we call such people Obasabi. Amen. That's what we call them, Obasabi. Amen. And such kind of people could be slighted by others. They slight them. They slight them a lot. What with ITK? We call them ITK, I too know. Or Obasabi. Were you invited? Did they ask you? So they usually slight them. They usually, you know, put them up and put them down. Are you getting what I'm saying? But in the actual fact, they are great assets when utilized by the right person. So more often than not, people like that are slighted, but when the right person sees them, he utilizes them. You see, one of the greatest things I have suffered in ministry is that I've had around me unidealistic people. That's one of the greatest things you could ever have. Remember then when the first church I planted, when I have a leadership meeting, when I finish talking, I ask, any ideas? They look at me. Any ideas? They look at me. And I ask somebody there, what have you said? Say nothing. I'm like, what is this? What is this? What is this? How can I be working with people that nobody can be an Andrew around me? At least offer me barley loaves and what? Small fishes. Stop telling me that everything is impossible. Stop telling me that you don't have an idea at all. Oh, I prefer an Obasabi. I prefer an ITK. I prefer a proactive person who I don't ask a question is already lifting up his hand and saying, are you getting what I'm saying? There's something here. Maybe it doesn't make it. No, people like that, they say, see it, but they've already said it. They say, maybe it may not make any sense, but I just said something. I like them. God bless me with them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Bless me with them, Lord. Because they are great assets. Jesus understood it. That's why he didn't take Andrew's suggestion for granted. You know that these kind of people, they are great assets to the kingdom of God. They are great assets in life. Don't shut them out. You know, don't shut them out. Don't look down on them. Don't slide them. Don't shove them away. Maximize them. Let them give you stupid. See, I prefer people giving me stupid, that is the word, stupid ideas than not to give me an idea at all. Because in a seemingly foolish idea lies untapped wisdom. They say even a clock that is not working is right twice a day. Yeah. A clock that is not working is right twice a day. So you don't take any idea as a stupid idea. In fact, in idea operations, what they do is that they take every idea that comes, write it down. Stupid, write it down. Foolish, write it down. Seemingly useless, write it down. Because by the time you process the stupid, foolish, useless ideas over time, you may begin to see the wisdom in those stupid, foolish ideas. So when it comes to ideas, you don't play down on any idea. Jesus was teaching us this thing here. You don't play down on any idea. Not at all. You don't play down. You don't play down on any idea. Amen to Jesus. So when Jesus saw Andrew's proactivity, he jumped at it fast. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Andrew was a great asset to Jesus in this miracle. Are we together? Jesus knew what he would do. This means that he knew that there was a little boy with his lunch there. That would say Jesus knew what he was doing. That means he knew the medium through which he would make the miracle a reality. He knew the boy was there. But Andrew was a very great asset to bring him forth that boy. God knows everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? But he still wants our involvement. Andrew showed us man's involvement in the miraculous. Andrew showed us man's partnership in the miraculous. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why the prophet asked the woman, the widow, what do you have in your head? She said, just a cruse of oil. Just a cruse of oil. He said, go and borrow vessels, not a few, and begin to turn. What do you have? God always needs something in our hands. Why? Because if there's nothing in our hands, it will break the law of life. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the law of life, for the supernatural to manifest in the natural, there must be a physical contact point. That is why spirits cannot live on earth. Why? Because they need a body to live on earth. Are we together? So for the supernatural to manifest, even for God to be live on earth physically, he had to take the body of what? Man. Are you getting me? So for the supernatural to manifest physically, he needs a physical contact point. Very important, very pertinent. And so God will keep looking for that physical contact point. Physical contact point. He knows it, but he wants you to get involved. He doesn't just want to be the one doing everything and is babysitting you. I have a problem with Christians that want to be babysat and don't want to be spoon-fed. They don't go far in life. Why? Because God will not even babysit us forever. He wants to feed us forever. He wants us to get to a point where we can reason with him. Isaiah 1 verse 18, come let us reason together. He wants a point where we can partner with him. And until man partners with God, the miraculous cannot be made a reality. Until man partners with God, the supernatural cannot be made a reality. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So Jesus knew what he would do. This meant that he knew that there was a little boy with his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. There, he knew the boy was there. Are you getting what I'm saying? But Andrew's involvement was a trigger needed to set the spiritual ball rolling. Andrew's involvement was what? It was a trigger that was needed to set what? This spiritual ball rolling. And you get what I'm saying? God uses triggers. God wants triggers. God needs triggers. When there are no triggers on earth, the supernatural cannot become natural. That's why the Bible, Jesus told us, say, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth is what? Loose in heaven. It takes the trigger from earth for heaven to shoot the bullet out. If earth does not press the trigger, heaven cannot shoot the bullet out. So God needs triggers on earth. And men are the triggers of God. So if we won't be triggers, we will see miracles. If we refuse to be triggers, we will see the supernatural. Andrew was the trigger that Jesus needed to shoot this miracle. Even Jesus needed a trigger. He knew what to do, but he needed a trigger. This makes us understand that God knows what to do and he can do all things, but he loves to get man involved. In other words, he loves to partner with man to trigger the manifestation of what he knows and what he can do. He wants to partner with man, so man will trigger that thing he knows that he can do and he wants to do. What a blessing it is that God will use me as a trigger to trigger what he wants to do. He can do it, oh. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He can do it. But he uses me to trigger it. It's a privilege. Hey, the Andrew anointing, the Andrew spirit, the Andrew mentality is the trigger mentality. Is the trigger anointing. Is the trigger spirit. It is God using you to shoot what he wants to be, to make it a reality. And so, when God does that, I don't expect the trigger to start feeling like he's a gun. I get what I'm saying? I don't expect the trigger to start feeling like he's a gun. Trigger should just be privileged to be a trigger. Are we together? I know the funny thing, when you look at the gun, when you look at the long gun, the exterior, the smallest part of that full exterior is what? The trigger. The smallest part of the gun is what? Psh, makes everything happen. What is man? And thou art mindful of him. And the son of man, and thou visited him. For thou hast crowned with glory and honor. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. A little lower than Elohim. Yet, the trigger of Elohim. God needs to do things on earth. This man that is lower than, a little lower than him, is who he will use to trigger what he wants to do. What a blessing. What a privilege. What a grace. What an honor to be a trigger. Andrew was a trigger. Are we together? In spiritual operations, there must be physical triggers to make the spiritual manifest physically. Are you getting what I'm saying? In spiritual operation, there must be physical triggers to make the miraculous manifest physically. You are waiting for a miracle. Where is your trigger? Are you getting what I'm saying? What is the trigger you are using? You can't just be praying, Lord, miracle, Lord, miracle. Trigger, trigger, trigger. I began to pray some while ago, and that's a scripture that I saw 2009, you know, before I pioneered the ministry. And then I was praying again, and then I finished, I said, Lord, speak to me. And I went and I saw the next verse after it. And I said, God, I don't understand this next verse. God, these things you are saying, I don't have them. But I'll pray today. I began to tell Lord, I say, prayer is my this one. Prayer is my this one. Prayer is my this one. Lord, this is the only one I have. This is the purse I have. This is the scribe I have. This is the sword I have. Prayer. And it has worked for me. It has worked. It keeps working. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting me? Triggers. Triggers. My brother, everyone, we all have triggers. Your own trigger may just be prayers. I heard the story of a particular man of God who, his mother, when they were children, there would be no food in the house. And the mother would go to her room and she would pray and pray and pray. And suddenly they would hear a knock at the door. When they opened the door, somebody had brought food for them. He got admission into school, and the mother gathered all she could gather and gave to him. It was not sufficient for anything. And the mother told him, I'll be praying for you. When he heard that word, I'll be praying for you, he started going to school. So because he knew the prayer of his mother, the power of her prayers. Somebody that used to call food from her knees. Yeah? She can call anything. She called food from her knees, she will call anything. And lo and behold, they were on the queue, waiting to go and, you know, do their registration. And people were before him. Suddenly, a big man came and shouted, you, get off the line. He thought it was another person. The man pointed at him and said, you, get off the line. He was afraid that they would, because he doesn't have enough fees, they have noticed that he has not paid, so they want to send him back home. And the man came to him and said, I'm talking to you, you, get off the line. And he went up and said, God, that means it's all over. And the man said, your fees, every of your fees from start to finish have all been paid, so you are not meant to be in this queue. The mother said, I'll be praying for you. My brother, my sister, if you don't have any trigger at all, you have prayer. Trigger it. Oh, trigger. See, and God needs men to trigger. Are you getting what I'm saying? For the man with the withered hand, Jesus told him what? Stretch forth your hand. Matthew 12 verse 13 says, then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. The man had to use the trigger. Jesus told him, do it. That was the man. But the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus did not tell her. She's just like Philip. She triggered her own, said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Triggers. 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 See, we thank God for Philips, but see, it's good to be an Andrew. While you're waiting for God to ask you a question, get proactive and ask God. Get proactive. You're not like some people will say, God does not call you, call him. You see, when you are waiting for a miracle and it looks like God is not asking you like Philip, get involved. Get proactive. Hey, make a suggestion, because you may never know, your suggestion may be useless. Philip had a bigger idea, 200 pennies worth is not rich, but what Andrew had was a stupid idea, but that stupid idea became the trigger that brought about the miracle. Star, I better have a stupid idea that I present to God than have a big idea that I will not present to God. Allow me to be foolish to God. God, I am foolish. This is what I think, as foolish as I am. But let me say something foolish to God. Before him, I can be bare and naked. Before him, I am naked and not ashamed. Before him, I can say it as he's doing me. Before him, I can trigger something. I remember some months ago, I began to pray and pray and pray and pray. Lord, give me the nations. I am more than this. I began to pray. We have prayed. We have come to a point of discomfort. We pray and pray and pray and pray. We are triggering something. Triggering something. Before you know something, we met. Before you know something, we met. Before you know to metamorphose. Before you know decision. I remember in the last the organization I was working in, and in that organization, I knew that I was becoming unfulfilled. Everywhere was becoming locked up for me. When I started feeling like that, I realized they called to pray. I stayed in my house praying 3 days. Praying. My colleagues were calling me. I did not pick anybody's call. I sent them telling I will soon be there. After 3 days, I knew that I had encountered something. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying anything tangible here, but I knew I had encountered something. So I came out to the office. remember the course of the prayer, somebody was even telling me that a job came, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, I don't need it. But then there was something that was calling me, and I was calling it, but it was what I cannot explain. So I went to the office. I was just talking to one of my managers, and I just started pacing up on them. I said, no, this place cannot give me what God has for me. No, this place cannot give me what God has for me. He was looking at me, I wonder, is this guy running mad? The next thing they said, I resigned. When I resigned, everybody said, the prophet has resigned. That means the prophet is not hearing God again. The next thing I saw that after I resigned, everybody started resigning. The prophet that was not hearing God was the one who ignited the resignation left, right, and center. Why? Because I had triggered something in the place of prayer. Before you know, kept on praying. The Lord says, it's time to ponder the work of the mission. And when I always start putting that in, I just start praying. Because I know that there's a trigger. I have to trigger something. Today we will pray. For Andrew, it was a suggestion or an idea he gave to Jesus. He knew what to do. Yet, Jesus used it to trigger the miracle. Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus knew what to do, but Jesus still uses. That's the Jesus we say. He's not going to throw away your idea. Some of us, I don't know who I'm talking to you. There are many ideas that have come into your mind that you have written that you feel that they are useless. Don't just give up on them. Leave them for where you have written them. Jesus does not waste ideas. Remember the organization I was working as a woman who told us one day, she said, when ideas come to your mind, write them. Say, don't let them go, write them. He said, you may not use them, but your children may use them. In that regard, I began to ask God, I said, God, the things you told me, I wrote them down. I have how many years down the road? I'm not seeing anything that looks like those things will manifest. But they are written there, let them stay there. Why? Because Jesus never wastes ideas. No matter how small they may look, or how stupid they may look, or how infinitesimal they may look, or how foolish they may look. Why? Because he uses the foolish things to confound the wise, and the weak things to confound the strong. That is Jesus. That's an area. For Andrew, it was just one stupid, let me use the word, it was a word, a stupid idea, a foolish idea, but that stupid idea was the trigger that Jesus needed. Hey! Jesus used this to trigger the miracle. Ideas and suggestions come from God and the soul. But when they are given by God and to God, he uses them to make miracles manifest. For the child of God, every good idea is to come from God. But it also comes from the soul. Because the soul, when God breathed into man the word neshama, the breath, that means spirit, intellect, soul, divine inspiration. So you can operate at inspiration level. That's not divine inspiration level. It's just a level at the soul realm. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what most of the Catholic people do. They operate at soul realm, inspiration. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's God that gave inspiration, but when inspiration is not governed by divine inspiration, it's just inspiration that is gotten from the atmosphere and the intellectual realm, and the devil can pervert it. Then ideas also come from the intellectual realm and the soul realm. Are you getting what I'm saying? They can be perverted. But for an idea to come from to be from God, it has to be a divine idea. That's why I don't jump at ideas anyway. I like divine ideas. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Now so God gives ideas. Are you getting what I'm saying? He gives ideas. But when that idea he gave you, you give it back to him. He uses it to trigger a miracle. It was God who dropped that idea in the mind of Andrew. Andrew did not just leave it there. Andrew took the same idea and gave it back to God. God said, you know how to behave, son. And he used it to trigger a miracle. I don't know what I'm talking to there. There might have been ideas that the Lord has been giving to you. And it looks like this idea does not look feasible. Do you know what? Carry them and give them back to God. See, I'm preaching to myself here because today we are praying some level of prayer. This night I'm taking the book that the Lord has been speaking to me and I've been writing. I'm taking that book back and I'm going to give the things that are telling me back to him. God, you told me this. God, you told me that. Lord, this idea that came, Lord, what do you have to say? It's time for us to start sitting with God. God said, as I want to say, come, let's reason together. It's time for us to sit down on the round table with God and say, God, okay, concerning this one, what are you saying, Lord? Concerning that, what are you saying? 3 years ago, this idea came, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, 5 years ago, this idea came. I've not said anything about it. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, just yesterday, an idea came. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, as I'm talking to you now, an idea is coming. Carry the ideas. Give them back to God. When you give him back what he gave you, it becomes a trigger for him to make the miraculous manifest in your life. It's not enough to have an idea or a suggestion. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is more than enough to give it to God. Ideas are good, but sir, don't stop with having an idea. Take it back to God. So we get so excited when God gives us ideas. Are you getting what I'm saying? But it's not just about having the ideas. Me, I've made that mistake too. I said I'm taking my idea book and I'm going to give it back to God. God, these are the things you brought in my spirit. These are the things you dropped in my mind. Lord, I'm giving them back to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? It's not enough to have an idea or suggestion. It is more than enough to give it to God. It is what? More than enough to give it to God. Because it is only in the hand of God that a simple and little idea can be used as a trigger for a great miracle. It's only in the hand of God that a simple, little, foolish, stupid, unrealistic, infinitesimal idea can be used as a trigger for a miracle. Suggestions and ideas are triggers that make for the manifestation of the supernatural. When a suggestion or an idea is given to and accepted by God, it makes the supernatural and miracles become the reality of he who gave it to God. My brothers, my sister, I don't know who I'm speaking to yet. Pack all those ideas. Tonight we are packing ideas to God. It's a night of giving him back his ideas back. Lord, you cannot pack all these things in my head and not make them happen. If I am the one standing in the way for this thing to happen, Lord, remove me and let it happen. In other words, if I'm thinking too small, that's why this thing cannot happen. Remove that thought pattern for it to happen. That's when I say remove me. Lord, if it's fear, Lord, remove that. Anything that is standing between me and the manifestation of this idea, Lord, remove it. I'm giving you idea back. Every idea, Lord, you have given to us, we are giving it back to you. This is a night of one-on-one discussion with the Lord. You are taking your idea pads, your notepads, wherever you have been writing ideas, your diary, you are bringing it to the Lord and you are saying, Lord, call! You called me, let us reason together. I have come now. Lord, I have come. I have come. Maybe I have not been coming since, but now I have come. So Lord, I'm ready to reason together now. Take these triggers. Shoot the manifestation of the miracle. Lord, I'm giving you ideas back. Father, we are giving you your ideas back. Rando Shakadaba. The Meramesa Dictionary defines suggestions as to mention or imply as a possibility. It also defines as to propose as desirable or fitting. And the Meramesa Dictionary, amongst other definitions, defines idea as a formulated thought or opinion. The Andrew mentality always sees possibility from everything, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant it is. As such, it proposes it as a fitting solution for problems. Are we together? The Andrew mentality always sees what? Possibility from everything, no matter how small or what seemingly insignificant it is. As a result of that, it proposes what? A fitting solution for problems. This mentality always has a formulated positive thought or opinion in every situation. Andrew Christians are God-centered, positive, productive, suggestive, and idealistic people who are triggers for miracles and the supernatural. Every Christian can be an Andrew, and every Christian can have an Andrew. Alakota, there are three prayer points tonight. First prayer point, Lord, every idea you have given to me, I give them back to you. I give them back to you. Use them as trigger. Second prayer point, you are praying, dear Abba Father, we ask that you make us Andrews. That is to say, give us ideas and suggestions that we will give to you, which will trigger the manifestation of our long-awaited miracles. Now, and make miracles manifest daily in our lives. Second prayer point, dear Abba Father, we ask that you bring Andrews to us. Now, the Andrew may be your small boy, maybe your daughter, maybe your son, but you need the Andrew. And above all, the third prayer point, dear Abba Father, every idea you have given to us, we bring them back to you now. Use them as triggers to bring forth manifestations of miracles daily in our lives. Open our mouth and pray. Redebeshu katalanda.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Komi Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.